Good morning. I'm glad you're with us today. Thank you for joining us. I want to say something to you to encourage you this morning, something you can walk away with. You'll know what you have when you leave. First off, I need to say something about me. I was born a singer. I was, from the time I can remember, I sang. And, you know, of course, we were all raised in that time where if it was loud and fast, it was the Holy Spirit, you know. But that rip and roar sing, and I grew up singing like that. And it's been a part of my life forever. I remember very vaguely, because it was so long ago, but I sang a lot, and the word got out that the little kid sang, put him up on a chair, let him sing, you know. And I vaguely remember it, but when I was in kindergarten, ever how old you are in kindergarten, the teacher found out that I could sing. And well, I sang something and whatever, I didn't realize what was going on. Well, when it came time for this big school and the high school graduation, 12th grade graduation, they came trucking me out as a little, now I vaguely remember it, I hardly have any memory of it at all, but they tell me that I walked out of my suit and I belted out the Sinatra Big Band. Hey, I already knew what I liked, you know. And I remember as a little kid even singing this in the car, and you might know it, once there was a little old ant, thought he could move a rubber tree plant. Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant. What's the word? Because he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. Well, that's the song that carried me as a kindergartner, but it's a song that carries me today, and I hope it'll encourage you right now. I want to talk to you about having high hopes. It's kind of hard to have high hopes in the world we're living in today. It is insane. It's nuts. I don't know about you, but I've got to turn it off sometimes and say, I just don't need to hear anymore. And read what the Word says about situations like that. And that keeps me strong. And well, let me share a few things with, I told you I was born singing. 1 Thessalonians, I love the word in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, who's that? That's us. That's covenant people. That is for people who are following the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote this, and now, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about what happens when we hear that believers have died, because we don't want you to grieve. In fact, King James says sorrow. He said, we don't want you to grieve like people who have no hope. We all go through loss. We all go through death. We're sad. We weep. It amazes me sometimes to say, oh, snap out of it. You know where they are. Well, I know where they are, but we're going to miss them. We're going to miss them. But Paul was talking to these people, and he said, because you are my brothers and my sisters, because you are covenant people, I want to give you a good word, that when someone is gone, you will sorrow, but you will not sorrow like people who have no hope. I'm talking about hope today. I'm talking about high hopes today. Hope is an amazing thing. Hope is a creative thing, but sometimes it's hard to have hope. Man, when we're looking at situations, it's hard to really say, oh, come on, I'm hoping for this. But a lot of times we're hoping, and it's not based on a foundation. That's a real key. You know, people say, I have all the faith in the world. Well, you don't need all the faith in the world. The Word tells us that we need to have faith targeted toward God. It needs to be targeted. Well, your hope needs to be on the solid foundation. As the old song says, all other ground is sinking sand. Now, when I read this word in Thessalonians about hope, I just go, wow. And again, it has brought me, when I look at it today, and I was reading the word to prepare this word for you today, it has brought me new blessing, new encouragement, even a new perspective, even when there is a pull to take away my hope. Even when circumstance takes away a hope, even when a circumstance comes to rob me of my weekend that I look forward to, and Linda looks forward to being with you guys and going through this thing that we do, because not only do we get to see you, we get to worship God, something happens, we come away strengthened when we gather, there's strength when we gather, and that is a good word of life and of hope and of faith for all of us right now. You know, there's a pull to take away our joy, to take away our hope, to take away the word that's on the inside of us. But I want to encourage you, stand strong. Augustine said it this way, hope has two beautiful daughters, that's on both sides. Their names are anger and courage. Well, we're caught in the middle. Sometimes we're angry and we've got to have courage at the same time. We're overwhelmed and we got to have hope. We got to have high hopes, even when it's difficult right now. Hope is a God thing. When all is well, we don't need hope. When all is not, sometimes it's hard to find, we think. But we do know this, hope is a God thing. It's not a believism. It is not, I think I can. It is a solid thing that is gripped in covenant relationship with this covenant people. Ephesians 4, the same guy that wrote the Thessalonians word, wrote this. He said, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, you are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision that is made by fleshly hands. That is, you were without Christ. You were an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise. You had no hope. You were without God. But now, I love the now word. I mean, that means something has happened, something has changed. But now in Jesus Christ, you who were once way far off, you've been brought near to the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice that word right there, and I tagged it in my notes. Those of you having no hope without God in the world. You know, when we were just living aimlessly, we had no hope. Oh, we thought we were hoping in certain things of our life. I don't know about you, but if you ever thought you were going to hope in the government, that's been blown out the window. If you ever thought you were going to hope in the stock market, that's been blown out of the window. If you're thinking you're going to be hoping on natural things, you can forget it. If you think you on the comforts of America, you can forget those things, because the action is to destroy everything. Where's your hope? My hope is in Him. My high hope is only in Him, not in me, but in Him. And that statement, he said it this way: you had no hope because you were without God in this world. Well, I've settled that. Notice the connection. Notice the concept. You know, it's one thing to say that you're without hope. I've had people say, well, I don't have any hope. Well, okay, that's going to come if you start moving toward God. Because it's one thing to say you're without hope, but it's another thing, we're without God. That's a dangerous place to be. You know, we've been talking about Saul. Saul got to a point, not only did he not have hope, he was without God. It got to the point that God wasn't even answering him. He was calling and he was getting a busy signal because he had broken his relationship and his contact with the Heavenly Father. You cannot talk about hope without talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can't talk about hope without bringing in the Lord Jesus Christ, the manifestation of God and man on this planet. Jesus came that we might have life. He is the giver of hope. Hope is a God thing, as I said. We know who has it. We know who has the hope. We know where to go. We also know He has us. Let's talk about that hope. You can't divorce it from the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot. This is the problem in the world today. People are trying to say, well, we need to have morality. We need to, you know, conduct ourselves in a certain way. But don't people understand that that concept of right and wrong came from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Man in his own flesh, man in his own creation, does not have that ability to know the difference between right and wrong. In fact, man it walks in depravity until he walks into salvation. Be encouraged today. We can't divorce the hope. We can't. People say, well, I'm just real optimistic. Well, I'm more than that. My hope is on Jesus Christ, the solid rock. Let me give you some hope words that'll encourage you, because He is the giver of life. 2 Timothy, in a note to a young man, in the very first verse, 1 Timothy, very first verse, it says, Paul the apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Out of the box, the introduction of the Apostle Paul in this letter to Timothy right now says, I am grounded in the hope of Jesus Christ. Later on in Colossians, he wrote these words, talking about the people. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. And listen to the definition he gives his name. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're not alone, guys. If Christ is in me, I have hope. If Christ is living in me, there is hope. We sang the song from, I haven't sang in a lot of years, got it from Jack Hayford many years ago. There is great hope in His name. That's a great word. Well, we read the word from Romans. It's such a famous text. And of course, the 28th verse is the one that we tag so many times. But if you go a few verses before that, talking about us and our relationship, and the Word of God said it this way in Romans 8:22 first, if you're taking notes. For we were saved in this hope. We're birthed in this hope. We've been given life, and when life was breathed into it, hope was there. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Let me ask you a question. As I said, when things are going well, you've not thought much about hope, have you? Because it's right there. But there are times that we don't see it, but our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It said, but if we hope for what we do not see, we will eagerly wait for it with perseverance. I don't care for that word, but that's what it says in the Bible. We will wait for it with perseverance. I know this in my mind, but there's sometimes that I get discouraged when I'm waiting, this perseverance thing, and I'm working. But you want to know where the Holy Ghost comes in? You want to know where the Spirit of God comes in? We read right there, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Watch this. I'm tired. I'm weary. Verse 26. So likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we don't know how we should pray, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Have you ever had a prayer like that, that you're hanging on for an answer, you're just hoping for that answer, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, with groanings that cannot be uttered? There have been times that I've made some noises, and it was supposed to be a prayer, but it was a gut groan, pardon me for not being so eloquent right there. And the word in 27 that we quote, going into 28 pretty soon, now he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, for the word that creates hope, here it goes. And we know, you want a word, a scripture that creates hope in you? And we know, that's positive, that's affirmative. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. That's a real good word. That's a good word of encouragement for you right now. We know we are grounded. If we've been birthed in him, we might not be able to see it, but we will persevere. And sometimes that thing inside of us in prayer is groaning before God, and the Spirit makes intercession for us. That's a good encouraging word for you right now. I'm reading all Paul just about today. Colossians chapter 1 says it this way. Right before I say it, I gave myself a little note to say this to you. Stay faithful, stay locked in. This is tough. This is where the war is. I'm going to talk more about that when I do the two-part series on love God, hate sin. Stay locked in, stay faithful. And here it picks up in Colossians 1, verse 21. Write it down. And you, that's y'all's, you is, you-ins, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works that you did. Boy, you're without hope. I've seen a lot of people that have lived their life with a fist in God's face. There's no hope there. There's no hope there. There's anger. There's all kinds of, there's no hope. This is not going to end well. And sometimes we see those things and our heart hurts because we know an answer. We know what they need to hear. And there's no hope away from the word and the life of God. They're really without hope when we were alienated, when we were enemies in our mind by the wicked works. But yet now we've been reconciled. We've been reconciled right now. And it says, if you indeed, this is verse 23. If indeed, if, that's a word that depends on you doing something and me doing something. If indeed, oh, isn't that beautiful? If indeed you continue in the faith. Remember I said, stay faithful, stay locked in. If you indeed stay and continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you've heard. I'm talking to a lot of you right now who are, I'll call you veterans in the word. You've been around a while. You've gone through things. You've heard a lot of word. You don't fall for a lot of things. Hey, hang on. Say hi to somebody next to you. Ready? Thank you very much. This has been brought to you by LifeGate. I've seen a lot of people right now live their lives, and you guys are strong in the faith. Many of you are mature in the faith, and you've seen so many things, and you're not shocked by things. But there are other times that people have gone away from the gospel. That's what I find very, very curious. People who have walked in the gospel, even people who have preached the word, spoken the word, lived the word, told other people about the word, but they got to a point in time where their eye got off the ball, and they weren't faithful, they weren't locked in, because it says, if you continue, that is ongoing. That's not a one-time hit and run thing. If you continue in these things, this is really good. He said, And you've not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a minister. He's setting them up by showing them, we have a history in this thing. Be encouraged. I wrote this right now. So don't let anything move you from the hope that you have. My hope is not wishing, not with my fingers crossed. My hope is knowing that the gift from heaven was imparted to me. And when I have this hope, it encourages me. It encourages me. It strengthens me. It helps me to stay faithful. It helps me to stay locked in, because it's not grounded on me, because I can't pull it off myself. It stays grounded in the Word of God. Let me give you some good words. This is some good thing. I'm going to talk about different, just hit and run. You ready for it real quick? This is quick. You might want to write these down. First off, you know what this hope is? It's a good hope. I love the word good. Good's a great, good. In the creation, and God said, it's good. You were created. He said, you're good. I like that. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he's there. He's there. He's working it. And our God and Father, who has loved us and giving us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, may he comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and every good work. The consolation, the good hope that came by the grace of God, it's a good hope. You say, what am I hoping for? Let me tell you what you're in first. You're in something that's good. Hope's good. It's a God thing, as I said right in the first paragraph today. Also, the word says when you read, and we've said goodbye to a loved one, or maybe we're wondering about what's going to happen when this is over. Many of the great writers took some of the words and called it it is not only a good hope, but it's a blessed hope. Titus 2:3 says, we are looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a good hope. It's a blessed hope. Okay, well, that's a story. When I'm dead? No. It is an ongoing, it is a living hope. We sing that song and that hook line, our living hope. 1 Peter 1 says it this way, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Wow. He gave us a living hope when he came forth out of that grave. So dear ones, what do I say to you today? How do I encourage you? I'm drilling you over and over with a word of hope. Not wishing, hope that is solidly grounded. It's not some crazy, flighty, ooh, weird thing. We are solid feet on the ground. My hope is in him. My hope is in him. So dear ones, I give you the benediction. I'll give you that in just a few minutes. But here's another benediction. I think Linda likes this one the best. In Romans chapter 15, it says, and now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, fill you with peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want just hope. I want to abound. I want to abound in that thing. I want people to come forward to me and say, dude, how are you doing this? I mean, you act like you got hope. Well, I got high hopes because I'm grounded in the Word, and I'm not just an ant trying to push a rubber tree plant. I want that to abound in me. That's my prayer for you guys today. What am I saying? I'm saying be filled with this knowledge today. Be filled with this Word. Be filled with this hope. I'll say it again. Be filled with the knowledge of what I'm giving you today. Be filled with the Word of God. Be filled with this hope. Why? Because I've got high hopes. Ought to get you to sing it. Maybe we'll do it next Sunday. We serve a Messiah of hope. We have a message of hope. And we're on a mission to give hope to people. You have to understand, even by the way we walk in hope, others will get inspired. Others will get touched. Others will get a heart toward God and actually pray a prayer and become a Christian because they saw the way we walked in hope, even when all hell was breaking loose around us right now. Walk in hope. We're on a mission of hope. A little further in Romans 8, it says it this way. I read the first part of it. So what should we say to these things? How do you hope? Remember this line. If God is for us. Do you remember when I explained to you and read the word a minute ago that our hope is tied to our God. The world can't have hope. It's not tied into God. That's why they're trying to control everything. That's why they're trying to destroy things, and man is trying to create something. It's a mess. Someone said that a camel is the result of a committee trying to build a horse. You know what I mean? And the foolishness, the hate, the rancor. Why is that? Because there's no hope in what they're doing. There's no hope in what they're doing. There's no hope in the way they talk. There's no hope in the way they judge. There's no hope in the way they rule in Washington. There is no hope in the media right now. But they figure, you know, the Tower of Babel was that thing. Well, maybe if we come and agree on this, maybe if we do this, we can do this, and we can. Well, God just did a little flick the switch one day, and that whole thing fell apart. So I have to believe and know in my heart, not me wishing, but I know my hope is in Him, and I know He is going to take care of things, and we're not going to be left in the dark. If God is for us, our hope is tied into God, who can be against us? Don't say I don't have hope. Do you have God? You got hope. Work on it. Stay diligent. Stay faithful. Remember the if word? If you will. If you will. Work it. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes, and by the way, about a year and a half ago, I sent you guys a video, and I did a couple of interviews on some radio programs and podcasts around America, and I wrote some things on it. And whenever people would ask me about it, what are you saying to people during this difficult time? And I sent letters to you about that time, and I said, don't lose your song. People thought that was kind of curious. But, you know, when you read about the people in the Old Testament, they lost their song when they were in captivity. They lost their song when they lost their freedom. They lost their song when everything looked hopeless. But they need to be reminded. But it is the song. It is the song. It is the worship. Work on your worship. Work your worship. I know a guy that used to do a thing. He said, we're going to have a worship workshop. And we would actually do it, just start worshiping, and we'd stop in the middle of it, and we would talk about it and read those. And it got you ready for the big fight, the big battle. Don't lose your song. You got to keep that thing churning right now. What are you doing? You're keeping your hope hot. You're keeping your hope tuned in. How do we fight? How do we fight? I like the song we sing. When I fight on my knees. Well, I also fight with a song in my heart. That's where my hope is. How do you have a song? Because I got high hopes. I got high hopes. Let's sing it. Bible professor Peter Leinart talked about the power of worship. And it said, David fought the Philistines with a sling and with a stone. But against the evil spirit that was in Saul, he brought out the heavy artillery. He brought out his harp. He brought out his song. He brought out his worship. He knew what to do to take out the Philistines. But when he was fighting an evil spirit, he needed a song. He needed a praise thing that stirred him and stirred something, even in the heart of Saul, when he was still at least sensitive to the word of God. Here's what I do know, though. I've been speechless, believe it or not. I've been breathless. Feel like I couldn't catch my breath. I've been sometimes thoughtless. I've been aimless. I've been penniless. But with God, although I might have walked in discouragement or disappointment or even fears at times, and those things have come at me, I reminded myself of this. I have never been hopeless. As long as there is God, we have hope. There's great hope in His name. And I've got high hopes. You got high hopes. Well, maybe I was onto something when I was five. Who knows? I want to bless you today. Don't forget, next week we're going to continue with the final chapter of 1 Samuel. King is dead. Long live the king. I hope you'll be with us. Pray for us this week. It's going to be a good week. In the meantime, you ready for it? Right hands up. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and grant you peace. See you next time.